had identity. Week before that, we had creation, which kind of, you know, led us into that identity. And we're going to keep on with that same theme. We're going to be talking about Adam and Eve tonight. So have you ever thought about it this way, that Adam and Eve, their story isn't just history, but it's our story? Are we settled? I feel like there's a lot of movement going on, guys. No, you're fine. No, they should know better, right, Zach? Yeah. So what did I just say, Tracy? What did I just say? Thank you, Eldon. High five. All right. So Adam and Eve isn't just ancient history. It's our story. It's part of your story, whether you want to admit it or not. It's part of your story because it speaks to our identity, our choices, and the consequences of sin. But more importantly, it reveals the heart of God, okay? So we're going to look at our scripture tonight, and I want you to think about these questions. I want you to think about where do I see myself in this story, and how does God respond to the failure that takes place in this story, but how does he respond to your failures as well, all right? So we're going to be in Genesis 2 and 7 and then skip to 18 through 23. So this is God's design for us, for humanity. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. How did you come up with aardvark? Like, really? He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. So we were created for relationship. We are meant to have relationship with God and with each other. God personally formed Adam from the dust and breathed life into him. This shows that we are not accidents. We are intentionally created by God. God saw that Adam needed companionship and created Eve as a suitable partner. Relationships are part of God's good design. Adam and Eve lived in perfect fellowship with God and each other before sin entered the world. So do you recognize that your value comes from being created? We were created in God's image, is what the word says. We weren't created for what the world says about us. Okay, we weren't created for the things that whatever parent or guardian you had that wasn't great spoke about you. We weren't created for the negative things that are spoken over us in the past, in the present, or in the future. We were created by God with a design for a purpose. So think about, I'm going to make y'all think a lot tonight, okay? Okay. Eldon. Thank you, sir. How do we cultivate godly relationships? We ain't going to talk about marriage because ain't none of y'all there yet. Okay? Ain't none of y'all there yet. No, we don't do that here, Brayden. We don't do that. Mm-mm. But think about it. Do you have any friendships in your life that are like a good, godly friendship? Somebody that you can go to for encouragement, somebody that you can lean on when things get hard? Like, okay, for everybody that is shaking your head no, why can't you be that friend for some of these others that are shaking their head? I mean, the Bible says love. The Bible calls us to love, right? It doesn't mean we have to agree with what everybody does, but we are called to love. And think about your own life. Are you living a life that reflects God's design? Do you think that God would want me to yell and scream at my kids? No, but I still do it sometimes. And I have to deal with that. Just like the things that you feel guilty about after the fact. Like, you're going to have to work on that with the Lord, right? It does not specifically say that in Scripture, no. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It does say that, so I can spank. I don't like to have to do that. I don't like to. They make me chase them anyways. So I just lay down on top of them. That's what I do to trap them. Then in Genesis 2, 16 through 17. So here's the Lord said, okay, here is your helper. The man is like, oh, yeah, this is going to work. This is great. Okay. And then God's like, okay, but I need you to know this next part. He says, you may freely eat all the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. So do you think that before they took that bite of the apples that they were meant to not die and to live forever? That God's plan wasn't for us to have to suffer and die? I mean, they're drinking water from God's garden. They're eating all the produce and the fruit that God grew that. They didn't have to they didn't have to work the land. God just, and it was there. They didn't have to work at it. They didn't have to work at it until after they took the bite. Okay? So God's design, God designed humanity. God designed Adam and Eve for one another, and then tragedy happened. The tragedy of sin. In Genesis 3, 1 through 5, it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And she's like, well, of course we can eat the fruit from the trees in the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. So he tries to put a spin on it. You know, he really is. He's like, but are you sure it's really that bad? You know, how many times doesn't come as a serpent slithering on the ground, because we would freak out. Just that little voice in the back of your head that's like, it's not really that bad. but so-and-so does it. Listen, just because so-and-so does it, don't make it right. Missy, run. Planet. Jesus, help us, Lord. That's a theological question that I want you to go home and Google it. Nope. Shh. Mm-mm. Shh. Shh. That's not what, we're not talking about that today. It doesn't matter. What happened, happened. Okay? And what happens is sin always begins with just a little bit of doubt, which leads to disobedience and then results in destruction. The serpent questioned God's word when he said, did God really say? And sin starts when we doubt God's goodness and his commands. Do not ever doubt anything that God has called you to do, because if you do, you will go down a road, go down a path, and you will be miserable. I'll tell you the story sometime, but not right now. But there is a reason God asks us to do things, because he sees all. He knows what he created us for. Jacob, he knows what he did not create you for, right? Okay. Brayden. Oh, you're going to talk out loud. God created you for more, right? Do you feel like you're living up to your true potential in Christ? Okay. So, the serpent questioned what God had said, and it caused them to doubt. So Eve saw, she desired, and then she took it. And then Adam followed. Sin is often a progression, and what we focus on shapes our choices. Think about the things that you are focusing on in life. Because what Eve chose to focus on in that moment, their result was immediate. Not, oh, 3 months down the road, my parents are going to find out that I've been doing this, that I did this in the past. My boyfriend or girlfriend's going to find out that this happened. No, it was immediate. And then there was shame and fear and separation from God. Instead of joy, they felt guilt. Imagine this is the first time they are feeling these emotions. Instead of walking with God, now they hid from God. Like, God, you can't hide. We can't play hide and seek with God. He knows and he sees everything. All the secret things, he knows. Are there areas in your lives where you're doubting God's word? Yeah. Think about what influences are shaping your desires, your beliefs. Is it God's truth or the enemy's lies? What are you giving the most space? When we sin, we try to cover it up, or do we come to God in repentance? Do we recognize and realize and say, I'm so sorry, God? Or do we try to cover it up? Or we try to pretend it didn't just happen? Or we try to brush it off like, whatever, it's fine. Being honest. Genesis 3, 6 through 7 says, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. They were naked. There was no issue. How we think of, there was nothing. It wasn't like how we see things today. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves because they were ashamed. So then we have the consequence of the sin and God showing mercy. In verses 8 through 19, it says, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.' 'Who told you that you were naked?' the Lord God asked. 'Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?' The man replied, 'It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God asked the woman, 'What have you done?' 'The serpent deceived me,' she replied. 'That's why I ate it.'" You notice how everybody is like trying to push the blame on somebody or something else. Do we do that? Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live." In my brain, this tells me that what we think of like a snake, it's always pictured as a snake. That's not what it looked like until after the fact. Okay? So it says that it's going to have to crawl on its belly in the dust forever, and that there will be hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." And to the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." Sin has consequences. But thank goodness God's grace is greater. God called Adam. He called out to him, not in wrath, not in anger, but in pursuit. Where are you? Even in sin, God sees us. The consequences are real. I birthed 5 babies. It is painful. Men, can you imagine if you weren't tired from the work that you were having to do? Like if you didn't, you know, like pull muscles and if our muscles just work better. I mean, sin breaks everything. But yet there is a promise of redemption. The offspring of the woman was Jesus was born of a woman. You think about that for a second. You know that part where it says, you know, the offspring of the woman will crush the serpent's head? What is Jesus here to do? Yeah. Even in the time of judgment, God had to do it because he said that there would be consequences. In your life, when you choose to sin, there will be consequences, but that does not take God's love from you. That does not mean that he does not care anymore. He gives you a consequence to point you back to him, hoping that you will return to him, that you will come back into that relationship with him because he loves you. So when you mess up, when you fail, are you running from God or are you running to him? When you're in the most difficult time of your life, can you see God's grace in the middle of that? Are you trusting in Jesus, the one who came to redeem us from the sin's curse? The story of Adam and Eve teaches us some very important truths. One, we were created for relationship. That sin leads to separation and suffering, but God in His mercy made a way back to Him. So tonight, where are you in your story? Are you walking in God's design, or are you struggling with temptation and hiding from Him? Will you respond when He calls you? Can you trust in Him again? Will you trust in Jesus, the one that overcame the sin, the one that offers a new life? Because despite our failures, God's love never wavers. So I ask you tonight, where are you? Where are you? God is calling. Where are you? Are you running? Are you hiding? Are you ashamed? Do you feel guilty? Do you feel unworthy? Do you feel unlovable because you've heard those words before? God does not say those words. Because if he didn't care, He wouldn't be saying, "Where are you?" Because He knew the moment that it happened, He knew, but He wanted to give them an opportunity. He wants to give you an opportunity today. So where are you? Stand with me tonight. Father, I thank You, God, for each one of these students. Lord, I pray that they would answer this question in their prayer time tonight. God, that when You ask, "Where are You?" that God, they would have an answer. They would say, "I am here. I am right here, God. I am waiting for You to tell me what I need to do. God, I am waiting and I'm ready to feel that love. To feel You tell me I am worthy, I am something, I am somebody." If you're in this place and you need to hear those words, then come up to the front. Where are you tonight? Leaders, if you would come and help me pray. Students, if you want to come and pray in these altars, if you're going to stay in your seats, just be respectful and be quiet. Let these students have their time with the Lord tonight.